Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, we are on a roll here on eWabs because this week we have one of our favorite people, a talented guy who does some great voices, one of them being Morgan Freeman, but he's Larry Davis, and we like him as Larry Davis, along with his best friend, Elizabeth Stewart. They're going to be together here on our show, and we're going to have a great time with them. Don't miss it.
Absolutely. Elizabeth is a very talented voice actor in her own right, and the two of them riff on each other. It's going to be a really funny month. Because we've got so many great people on. I'll have more highlights from WoWo. I'm going to have more video clips and stuff from NAB that you guys might want to know about. So much cool tech that you'll never be able to handle it all.
Yeah, sure looks like you had a great time there. And, of course, we'll be answering your questions. Send them in to ewabshop@gmail.com, and we'll answer them right here on the show. That's East West Audio Body Shop, this coming Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
Join us in the chat room. Everybody's having a great time there. And we'll see everybody there.
He is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He is a voice actor and the home studio master. Hailing from Buffalo, New York, his home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. This is Rob Marley from Austin, Texas. This episode of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products handpicked for voice actors. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. And Voiceover Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his soon-to-be former penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard, still in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop.
Oh, you scoundrel.
Well, you were picking it up really fast there. How's everybody doing tonight? Well, finally, winter has broken.
Yes.
It broke us, but it's broken. But we're getting into the warmer weather here. I hear it was like 100 degrees in L.A. today.
It was toasty. Yeah. These guys came a little bit further. Look, let's say hi to who's sitting. Let's pretend they're not here.
Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, everyone.
It's been a couple of years since we've been on.
It's been a couple of years, but it was great last time. Yeah. I predict it'll be even better.
It will be way better than last time.
Yeah.
I know it will. I just have a feeling. You know how you get those feelings? And I think the show's going to be great. So we're excited. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no pressure.
Yeah. Much earlier in your relationship, as I recall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been together a couple of years at that point.
Yeah. And we've got lots of stuff from a little bit of stuff from WoWOcon, more stuff from NAB that will just totally knock your socks off. So why don't you just pull them off now and save yourself the trouble. And it's now time for...
Time now to take a look at the news. EWABS News.
All righty, our first story tonight. First off, congratulations to our great friend, Bill Russell, who is just one wild guy. Got married this week to his love, Jane Murphy. Do we have those pictures there, George, of his wedding? And
No, I don't.
He was wearing a dress.
Was I supposed to?
Yes, you were. I could have sworn I mentioned it.
Sorry,
you turned into my wife now. I didn't hear you say that.
Where did you get married?
Nashville?
Nashville, Beth Feminacy.
That's sweet.
Yeah, no, a couple of great pictures on Facebook. He's wearing his kilt and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good looking guy, good looking gal.
Aww.
So they'll be a good looking couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
As long as they decide which one wants to wear the skirt.
Trade it back and forth. Right?
That's right. But congratulations to them. Bill's just a great guy. We love when he's watching the show. We got to have him on again.
Very entertaining guy.
Very entertaining
musical,
guy.
Musical, yeah. Multi-talented, kilt-wearing.
Can't wait to do a ukulele duet with him. That ought to be fun.
Actually,
we could probably do a trio because you can sort of play it too.
Sort of.
I can't even remotely play it.
Play four chords.
That could be interesting. That's two more than I know. Anyway, but congratulations to them. What else is going on, Mr. Whittem?
We got a bunch of stuff that I cut together from NAB. These are a couple of the short ones. I shot some pretty long videos this time because I got it to be on camera and interview the vendors. So they're a little bit long. So I cut some of the shorter ones for you guys to watch. If you want to see a lot more, of course, you can catch them on the Whittem's World YouTube channel over there, which we'll give you a link to later. But let's see. First, what do we got up first? We've got a video from, I believe, this one is JK Audio. JK Audio, what's that? Well,
I know JK Audio.
There you go.
Hey, everybody. It's George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World. I'm here at the JK Audio booth, looking for gadgets that would help the voice actor who's a road warrior and has to record and be directed in the field. And I've found someone that might have the right gadget. I've got Wayne from JK Audio. How you doing, Wayne?
Good, how are you?
Good to meet you, man. Tell me about some of the gadgets that could be useful for voice actors that want to patch into a cell phone and not kind of do the rinky-dink way, but actually be able to hear them directly in their headphones and send the audio down the line.
Sure. We've got a couple of devices here that allow you to interface with the cell phone. So if you're at a remote location, you're in a hotel room or somewhere like that, you can use the Adapter 3 to connect through Bluetooth to your cell phone, or you can use Adapter 2 as a hardwired connection to the cell phone's earpiece jack. You can then take audio out of your existing equipment, whether it's an iPad headphone jack or whether it's your mixing equipment, and send that audio down the phone line to the other side of the call.
So you can hear yourself, and you can hear the caller coming back to you as well. So how would you hear the caller, not just send the audio down? How would you, as the actor, hear the caller coming back as well? Is that possible with that setup?
Caller audio can either be taken from the cell phone's earpiece jack, or you can take that audio from the output of one of these devices and send that to your headphones.
So you could use can that drive a headphone, or would you use a headphone amp?
You want to use a headphone amplifier with that.
You guys have a headphone amplifier, right?
Absolutely. We have a number of different headphone
amplifiers. Show me one of your most simple, easy to use.
Remote amp would be a nice headphone amplifier to use along with that. If you wanted to use that with Adapter 3, you could take the XLR output directly to it. Or you could combine all those things together and use Remote Mix 1 that already has a headphone amp and cooler.
That's what I want to know. There's an all-in-one device that you can get that really does it all, right?
Yeah, Remote Mix 1 would probably be the best situation or the best product for this situation. That's going to include your headphone amp, so you can just plug your headphones directly in, plug that into your cell phone, and then you can take your output from your equipment or your iPad and send that down the cell phone call.
Okay, got you. So the connections that you have available on this unit are your out to a cell phone connection, mic here.
Your microphone in, if you're using a USB mic, you're obviously not going to use that.
Right, you're
going to
skip that.
So they're going to come into the auxiliary input from their audio.
Got you, yeah. So the headphone jack of your iPad will feed this, and say Twisted Wave, you'd set it to monitor, so it sends your mic back through and comes out here. You'd plug your headphones in there. That's actually pretty cool. That solves an actual real problem. I haven't figured out a way around that, so very cool. Yeah, you might want to check out a JK Audio Remote Mix 1 if you're doing work on the road on an iPad and you don't want to carry a lot of extra gear and all you have is a USB mic. Cool, man. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World here at NAB 2015. Always looking for interesting products that help the voice actor who travels a lot. I'm here with Pelican Cases. Frank's going to show me one of their relatively new cases that I haven't seen before. Tell me what makes this case special.
So it's the Pelican 2370. This has the push and pull latches. This is a unique feature with the Pelican Storm cases. This also has the built-in locks, so it comes with the keys. You can also get your laptop accessory kit in here. Get a laptop organizer as well. This one has the pick and pluck foam. Based on what we were just talking about, you mentioned that you can use this also as a sound, portable sound booth. So it's also got the molded over handle, watertight container with a pressure relief valve. It's got the locks.
What makes these latches different from the old more traditional, like the latches on here?
Yeah, so the traditional latches is the double throw, which is just lift it and it opens up. This one here has a press and pull latch, so it has a button. You first push the button in, and then you lift it up, and it pops right up.
So when I saw this case, I thought of a cool way to use this case for researchers is once you get to where you're going, you pull out your microphones, your equipment, your laptop, and everything, then set this thing up on your table, put your mic stand in here, and you have an instant sound damping little area for your microphone. How cool is that? So a multifunctional device. You don't have to carry along an extra piece of gear. Thanks a lot, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate coming by.
My pleasure. Hi, this is George Whittam reporting for Whittam's World at NAB 2015. And here we are at Shure. The Shure is always sure to bring you some cool stuff for voiceover. And here to tell me more about it is...
Cheryl! Hi, everybody. I'm Cheryl, and I'm here to tell you all about our Motive line of digital recording microphones. These are brand new, and they are going to be shipping later this summer, so look out for them. And I'm going to go through the whole line for you.
Thanks.
So we're going to start here. This is the MV5. This is a small diaphragm digital condenser microphone. Comes in the gray and silver here. We also have it red and black if you need a different color option. I'm going to turn around to the back and show you all the important stuff. It's got two DSP modes that you can very easily toggle through with this button here. Those DSP modes, I don't know if you can see them, but there is a vocals one. This is good for speech or singing. There's an instrument one. You can also toggle it to a flat mode if that's what you need. Real-time headphone monitoring. Your volume control is right here at the top. And this micro USB out comes, this comes standard $99 with the USB cable. You can plug it directly into your computer. However, if you'd like to plug it into your iOS device for just a little bit more at $129, it will also come with a micro to lightning cable. So it'll plug directly into your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod Touch, whatever you're using to give you great audio quality.
Okay.
So moving up the line, we have this. This is the granddaddy of the line. This is the MV51. This is a large diaphragm condenser microphone. It's got a touch panel here, and it's got five DSP modes you can very easily toggle between. This volume meter here can control either your microphone gain or your headphone volume because, once again, real-time headphone monitoring. Same thing here, USB cable. You can also use it directly with a lightning to your iOS device. Very great piece of product here, very nice and sturdy. Designed after one of our classic microphones, so you got kind of a nod to Shure history right there.
Is that only a desktop mic?
You can also unscrew this bottom right here,
and
it'll easily mount on any standard microphone stand.
Very
versatile. Wherever you want to use it, it can kind of make that.
Yeah, we like to get our mics up off the table for voiceover. People stand and they act, so the mic has to be...
Get the diaphragm engaged so you can really speak loud.
Yeah.
So that touch panel, what you're going to see is the same thing here. This is an interesting microphone on the line. This is the only one that actually isn't a microphone. This is the MVI digital interface. So you've got the same controls here, 5 DSP, control of mic volume, mic gain as well as headphone volume. Flip it around the back, and what you'll see is we've got a combo jack here. So you can either plug in your quarter-inch instrument cable or your XLR cable to your favorite microphone. Say you already have a favorite microphone, it'll plug right in here. Even if it's a condenser microphone, you can use it because this will provide phantom power to your condenser microphone. You don't need any external power. It'll just pull that from whatever you're using, be that the laptop or your device, your iOS device. So an easy way to plug your favorite microphone or your instrument directly into that computer or iOS device. That's the MVI. And then this is the MV88. This is unique in the line because this is the only one that is iOS only for very obvious reasons. We've got the lightning end here. This is a stereo condenser microphone. So as you can see, it's very versatile. You can rotate it for whichever direction you need to take the most advantage of that stereo recording. And it plugs directly into your device here. And this is why we have the Shure Motive Recording app. So this is where you can actually record directly into. It's also where you can manage all of the settings on your MV88. You can have the 5 DSP modes once again. You can control your mic gain. You can also control the stereo width very easily. Or if you want to get fancy, you can come over here and toggle between various options between polar patterns, mess with your EQ, your limiter and compression, and everything that you do on this app is being saved on the microphone itself. So once you've got all your settings done, if you don't want to use our recorder, you can close this down and open up any other third-party recording app that you're using, be that GarageBand or even your video camera. This is a great way to get stereo recordings for your video.
So that's programming DSP that's inside the mic itself.
Exactly. It is actually just remote controlling the DSP engine within this little package. This little thing is going to be $149. It ships standard with a ball windscreen in a case, because you got to have a case for this thing on the go. So it just makes great recordings, and we're really, really excited to get these in people's hands. So starting this summer, they will be available from your Shure authorized retailers.
Is this one going to replace the X2U, which I love? A lot of my clients love it.
I don't believe it's going to totally replace it at this exact moment in time, but it is a pretty powerful thing. It's a little bit more intuitive to use, I think, than the X2U. Sort of the next generation of what the X2U can give you.
I'm very curious to demo it, to hear how the DSP works and how usable it is for the context of voiceover recording. It's very exciting.
I've been using this personally with, I have a KSM-9 microphone that I've been using to do some vocal work at home. Very, very simple to use, and it sounds amazing. It's really great that I can get that great performance of my condenser microphone right directly onto my computer.
And it's iPad, iPhone compatible.
Exactly. So if you don't have your computer on the go, plug it right into your iPhone and you're good to go. So.
Excellent. Thanks very much for showing us everything.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by and giving us the chance.
And that's a look at the Ewabs news.
Boy, talk about excitement.
Yeah.
That was great stuff, though. I mean, it's interesting to watch the microphone companies just hammer each other over the head with,
exactly.
Well, oh, is that what you're going to make?
Oh.
Well, we can make that.
We can put DSP into a microphone like Blue does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, Roy, I did not get her number. Sorry, my friend. The chat room.
You can hear her without her number. That's the thing. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got lots more coming up. We've got Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart joining us in just a little bit. They're just sort of sitting there laughing at us the whole time. And we've got a question coming up. And, Lisa, I think we have to go right to talking about our good friend Harlan Hogan.
Oh, no rest for the weary.
None. No whatsoever. So, anyway.
What do we have to say about
Harlan? What can we say about Harlan this week that we haven't said the prior 185 weeks that he's been on?
Tell me about it. Just
well.
Just start from somewhere. All right, I'll lead the way.
Okay, you take it this time. I always have to start this.
I know you do. well, first of all, let me just talk about Harlan's loyalty, because I mean Harlan has been incredibly loyal to us on the show here. And we've been really, really blessed to have him as a host or a sponsor for a very long time, because he's kept our show moving through the doldrums of fundraising for the show. He's kept us having to run commercials that are not product commercials. Like, if you guys have watched the show in early, early times, you'll have seen commercials preempting the show. And because of Harlan, that hasn't happened. So why is Harlan sponsoring the show? It's because he sells products for voiceover actors. His products are just designed for the voice actor, and everything on the website is either handpicked or designed by Harlan. So if you want to check it out, the best place to go see that is you can find it right from our website. So you're on our website right now. You're watching the show. And
scroll
to the bottom, and you'll see a link to Harlan Hogan. There's a picture of him right there in front of a portable.
Right down there. Just look, roll down there, and you'll see it.
If you click on that, and the reason why we say doing that, you don't have to do that every time, obviously, but we say to do that because, well, yes, it'd be nice. And the reason why is because it lets them know where you came from. That's all it is. But he's got his wares on there. And tonight, modeling one of his products unknowingly.
It's me?
Actually, Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth. Oh, it's not this thing?
Get the close-up.
Elizabeth is wearing one of the Harlan Hogan VO1A headphones. If you turn to the side, you can see the beautiful chrome accents of the headphone. Very, very nicely designed. I don't have a close-up prepared, unfortunately.
They're made of metal, kids.
They are. Can I tap on your head? Listen.
Ooh, hello. Ooh.
No plastic there.
That's metal. Metal ear cups. If it can be made out of metal, pretty much everything on it's metal, except for the yoke here where the thing attaches to the headband. The headband is steel, and then it's got leather on the headband, and it's got leather ear pads and memory foam. And then the cord is even kind of unique on these headphones because he gives you like enough straight cord that it doesn't really kind of drive you nuts. So you get about 2 feet of straight, and then you get about 3 or 4 feet of coiled. So, I mean, he said, what's all the annoying things about headphones? Let's get rid of all those problems. Let's solve all those problems with a pair of headphones for voice actors. So, well, I'll say that they sound unique. They sound, because everything you're used to hearing is hyped. Lots of treble, lots of bass. These are very smooth, and they're very comfortable to wear, and they're very low fatiguing. If you have to work in headphones a lot, you're going to be really comfortable wearing these. So the VO1A, one of the many kinds of products you can find over at voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks a ton, Harlan Hogan, for sponsoring our show.
Wow, see how easy that is?
We appreciate everything.
Makes it happen, and Harlan's a happy camper.
Thanks, Harlan.
He's always a happy camper. He's thanks, Harlan, for sponsoring our show for 186 episodes.
And one of these days, he's going to realize, wait a minute, that auto pay thing, that's those guys? I got to turn that off.
Yeah, really. Anyway. All right, we got lots more coming up, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop with Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart and more stuff, so don't go away.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
And no words were ever truer. amazingly, we get this show off the ground every week, and somehow we always manage to bring it home, which is the most important thing. Anyway, we've got great guests coming on tonight. But last week, you got to go to WovoCon.
I was lucky enough to do that. Yeah,
sounds like you had a great time. And of course, I got to address the crowd on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately asked, is everybody having a great time? And everybody was like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, damn it.
I know. You were hoping everybody go, man, this is boring.
No, didn't work out that way. Didn't work out. Sounds like everybody was having a great time. So tell us a little bit more about it.
All right. Well, I mean, I just threw together some video. You know, we're careful about what we can show of the actual content from the event, mainly because...
So just people walking around in the hall outside?
Well, no, I mean, like the actual content, the presenters were told that we would not air that. So I just slapped together some video of just all the little interstitial stuff, people hanging out. Well, let me just shut up and play the video.
Go for it.
It's George Wood. I'm reporting for Woodham's World. I'm at the Lake Las Vegas Hilton for WovoCon 2. So if you can hear the noise, that's all the WovoConners going nuts in the other room. It's getting louder. It's getting louder. It's getting louder. It's getting louder.
Yeah, I'm here. Who is this? Hi, George Wood is here.
This is everything.
No beer. No beer.
I know he's got baby face on. Hey, I'm on your social media. Is that something interesting? Oh,
Hen's Feather.
Does he call you a Hen's Feather?
Yes. No, he doesn't. But he does call me the Minister of Silly Walks.
I always love the marching up and down the square.
He posted that on Facebook. He goes, who's going to buy this for you?
You want a drink?
I was like, I have to get that for him.
And I said, no.
Hi, Randy.
Hello. How are you? So you just heard me say, I've just had more wine than I've ever had in my whole life. Two glasses, that's a lot.
Two glasses of wine?
Two is a lot.
You are done.
Two whole hours to have two glasses of wine, but I'm a lightweight. So.
Two. Scott. We tried.
We did try. We tried. At least we tried.
At NAB, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, let's meet up.
Hey, George!
How you doing?
Hi! How are you?
Good. Say hi to Dan Leonard.
Hi, Dan. How are you? You're missed. Why are you not here? Why are you not here?
Dan! We miss you and your mustache. Both should be here right now.
And pipe down. All right. Ever.
The best groomed man at Vovo, right here. The barbershop trio. Yeah.
The 55 and over.
Who sings the high parts?
Yeah. That ain't me.
That ain't me.
I bet you Pam can sing the high
parts. You sing the high parts, Pam.
Pam's the chaperone.
Yes. Thanks for being on time, Roy. Appreciate it. Anthony, Cabello.
That slow service we got there.
Gosh.
Not our fault.
I brought you here.
If we can get quiet, then I'll give you some information. I know, a room full of voiceover people. Thanks, baby. All right. I love it. Thank you, Roy. That's right. So here's the thing. Seriously. All right. Okay. But I just took care of that. So in about 20 minutes.
We're pretty much going to start.
So we just take the most really competent.
It's going to be, okay, let's look at what we've got.
Just to prep my session, at 4:30 in the boardroom, I'll be facilitating a session on internet broadcast work with rates and usage. So if you do internet radio, you're interested in getting into internet radio, your YouTube pre-roll, and are interested in internet radio. Navigating this emerging landscape with us all, and come to the session, we're going to have a chat about it, and try to...
What time
is it? 4:30.
Where?
I'm ordering the
Yay! Yay. 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 I want to say I love all my ASU homies cheering for us on the dock, so make some noise right now, that's his favorite part. Launching out a heelside Rayleigh. He said that's his favorite. AJ has got plenty of time to get some more hits in before the end there.
I'm a cult of personality.
Let me go if this is it.
back to all of us, actually. So yeah. There you go. There's a little taste of what you've missed if you couldn't make it to WovoCon. Next year will be even better because you will be there.
I will be there.
And you and you and you.
We will be there.
All right. Well, I'll be there. It'll be a big party. Well, anyway, we've got one question tonight, and then we'll get to our guests here, because you're all waiting patiently there because you want to talk to our guests. You're just tired of listening to us. Mostly to George so far tonight, but
it's about freaking time.
Yeah, really. question from Ron Eastwood. The subject being a declicker plugin. No. Message. Hey guys, did you know that there has been a plugin developed for Audacity that removes those little mouth clicks? It's called the declicker. Appropriately enough, it's written in the Nyquist programming language. Read more about it. And, you know, if you feel the need to have to get rid of all those clicks and stuff like that.
Stop doing audiobooks.
Stop. Yeah, really. pretty simple solution. Every time you use a filter like this, and I'm sure George will back me up or he could tell me.
We've talked about this a thousand times, right?
A billion times. Don't use an overwhelming filter to clean an entire file. If you've got things like that, one at a time, clean them up, because if you don't set it right, you can destroy your entire file.
It can sound really lousy, and what people end up finding out is they put it on, and at the moment, it sounds okay. And then they go back and listen to it all the way through, and then realize they lost a T here and a K there, the T's and the K's, and they all get. You put them all back in one by one. You know, there's isolated circumstances, just like de-breathing tools, where sometimes they are helpful. But in more cases than not, they aren't. And the ironic thing about a lot of these tools is they're the most expensive. So the things you use the least often, you spend the most money on. And I know everything for Audacity is free, so there's no harm in at least experimenting with it. All that Nyquist stuff, whoever Nyquist is, he gives his stuff away. I don't really know why. But you can try it out and do it before and after and take a listen. But thanks for letting us know about it. I didn't know there was a declicker for Audacity. So thanks for that update.
I've seen it. I don't use Audacity, and I wouldn't use it anyway.
Yeah, I don't use Audacity either. But some people are kind of like, I kind of look at like an Audacity to riding an old rusty bike. You know, you keep the thing oiled up, it will work. It'll get you to work and back, and it's sort of a point of pride of using this old rusty bike. But, you know, there's much nicer bikes that eventually you can kind of upgrade to, and that are maybe a little more comfortable, a little faster, a little quieter, so... That's my analogy, as rough as it is.
Best way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's your answer, Ron. If you want to use it, go right ahead. Send us a sample. Let us know what it sounds like so we can comment and say, see, we told you. Anyway. All right. Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart sitting by very patiently.
Yes.
Mostly they've been babysitting Ella so far tonight. So I think we'll give them the chance to actually talk to us. So. Stay where you are. We'll be right back here on eWebs with our great guests in just a moment.
George and Dan, eWebs. They make our lives so much easier.
Oh, crap. What's wrong now?
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
All right, finally, two of our favorite people, people who I run into everywhere I go, no matter where I go, whether I'm in Anaheim, Las Vegas, but not in Buffalo. But I'll run into you a lot more because we'll be practically neighbors. Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart, welcome back to our program
Like
20 years.
Yay. We're happy. We love being here. We've been wanting to be on for a long time, and then one thing will happen. George will say, hey, can you do it this week? We can't do it that week. And then finally it all worked out and we're glad to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Now, Larry, you've been a big help. You did a lot of those liners that we've been running for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. I get a
and
lot
they,
of
them. And they still work.
I was going to say we could do some new ones. We did some in Vegas. I guess it was about a week ago when I happened to catch George at Adrenaline Studios. They're doing a gig and I walk into the lobby. I didn't even know he was there. And Elizabeth and I jump into the booth and we start just basically, we didn't have a script.
And totally riffing.
We did a lot. We had a lot of fun. And
riffed for like an hour.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And some of it's probably good and some of it's probably bad.
I told them they'd get the first right of refusal on everything to make sure they were happy with it.
The good stuff gets on and the bad stuff gets thrown away. Because, with no script, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we had a good time doing that, and it was good to see Mr. Whittem in Las Vegas.
Yeah. And I listened in for about 45 minutes on that, if you can imagine
And I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, we didn't get told until the middle that you were even on.
No, I called him in the middle.
Listening? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So what have you guys been up to?
Elizabeth, you want to?
You can start with Liz. I know she's got some cool stuff
going on.
Ladies
first.
Well, I've got a lot of great things. One of my big things, I'm working with ABC Family. I'm doing promo for them.
Yay.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
You have to tell the story how that all came about.
Go for it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yes. Oh, one of our great things that we did, we bought a new place. And whenever we got our house, we were trying to find a handyman. And it was really interesting because everyone was incredibly flaky. People would just kind of drop out left and right. Nobody would show up. Nobody would return calls. Finally, we got to this one guy. He was like the sixth or seventh person. I don't even remember how we found him. It's like, hey, if you come and show up at the house, you get the job. Go for it.
After five, it really was our fifth. Yeah. He was our fifth or sixth guy that we had in line. And everyone else said, yeah, I'll be there at 1. And then they call it at about 12:50. Man, you're not going to believe what happened. My mom's sick. I got the moms in the hospital. We got something happened with a kid in the swimming pool. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, some of it may have been true, but I think some of it maybe was just an excuse. So we got kind of to the point like, all right, anyone that can do the work can come over and do the work.
Yeah, but so he comes over and we get to talk. And later, he'd been there for like a day or two and he starts talking and he said that he actually sells insurance and this was something he was just doing on the side. And, you know, we start telling him, hey, we do voiceover and blah, blah, blah. The next thing I find out, his wife is the head of promo at Disney. And like her major project right now is ABC Family. And so, you know, Larry sent over his demos and then he shot back at us later on. He's like, hey, they're looking for a female. And I sent my stuff and she responded to me and everything happened like in less than 24 hours. It was amazing.
And then a day later, she was at ABC doing.
Yeah. They wanted me to come in to do a demo. And they were like, we love that so much. You don't even have to come back at the moment or whatever. We're just going to go ahead and contact your agent, get you paid. I was like, right off the demo.
So then they called William Morris, which of course is Elizabeth's agent. Mm-hmm. They got going on it within just, it was like a day or so. And then she was in the booth day after day and she's been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Right place.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
It's like, you know what?
Kismet, synchronicity, whatever you want to call it.
You know, every time those, handyman things didn't work out, I thought, okay, it was meant to happen.
Right.
We weren't supposed to have that one. We weren't supposed to have that one. We weren't supposed, okay, this is it, you know?
Yeah. What are the odds that the handyman happens to be married to the head of the person in charge of promo for Disney/ABC? And then, hey, we need a female. And then
The handyman, yeah, the handyman who does it on the side.
Yes, right, exactly. Right, I mean, he hardly charges. Not even a, he didn't even really charge us hardly anything. It was insanely cheap.
Give me 10 bucks.
He's like, $20 I was like,
don't you want 40? You know, he finally started taking more.
Oh my God,
come on, at first he's like, I'll do it for $5. He was doing it because he wanted something to do because his other job was kind of like in a down cycle, his insurance job. And so, wow, what a lucky thing. What a great lucky thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm really proud of
you.
Oh my
God, yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say luck favors the prepared, right?
Yeah. Always be ready, right? Because you never know when your shot's going to come, and it will come.
Yeah.
But great thing. And I love hearing, I love flipping around the channels and hearing Elizabeth on the ABC Family and the other things that she's been doing lately. Tell them about all your other good work.
Oh, gosh. A lot of stuff. This past year, I've been doing a lot of political things. I've had a lot more, a lot newer clients. Some are smaller. Credit unions love me.
Yeah.
I keep getting a lot of credit union gigs. God. It's all leaving me right now.
Video games.
Oh, yeah. Some video games. Oh, my gosh. The big hunt. What is it? The big buck hunter experience.
Yeah.
That's been my big thing. Yeah. The big buck hunter experience.
I'm one of the park rangers. I'm a sexy park ranger.
Lovely.
So it sounds like we know Larry's career took off, and it sounds like you're in the right place with the right person at the right time.
Yeah, my God, it's just been awesome the way it's been shooting.
That's
off.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah. And Larry, aside from playing blackjack, what have you been up to?
A lot of craps. No. What have I been up to? Well, I was telling George before the show got started officially that when I moved here about 8 years ago, my dream was to be a commercial guy. I'd always thought I'll be on every, you know, restaurant and hotel spot that ever comes down the line. I'm going to work really hard to be a commercial dude. Well, as it's turned out, I do get my fair share of that, you know, Eckrich sausage and some other big brands, Reese's peanut butter cups and things like that. But my real love and the real thing that's kind of been given to me is promo. And I never thought that would happen. I never thought I would be a promo voice for ABC and for NBC. You know, granted, I'm not the only voice of those networks, but I get my fair chances to go in and do work for them on occasion. Also, networks like Destination America for the Mountain Monster Show, the voice of Barbecue Pit Masters.
Oh,
I do a lot for NASCAR. Just promo, especially sports promos lately. ESPN's called me up. Fox Sports One, they're with me quite a bit. And then I never dreamed that I would be doing all this work, you know, and then here it is. And I guess when you get your chance, you better be ready. You better be ready to be versatile. Sometimes they want you to do this, and you better be ready to go deeper. But can you sound younger? Can you sound older? Can you sound a little bit more urban? I get that a lot. Can you do a little bit more of an urban twist? All right, let me give it a shot. So you have to be ready when your chance comes. My saying is, be ready when your chance comes, because it will come. So to any other VO talent out there wondering, what can you do? What can you do to be ready when your chance comes? I say practice and be versatile. Be as versatile as you can, because when you do get in the booth, when your chance will come, they're going to ask you not just to do your number one read. They're going to ask you, what else can you show us? What else can you do? And you better have a few bags of tricks there, things in your bag of tricks, I mean, to show them that you can twist and go up and down and slower, more emotional, more hurried. They might want more energetic. Whatever it is they want, you better do it, you know?
Absolutely. You know, now what's, I mean, now I understand that if you're doing promo, and I'd love to do more promo, especially when I get out there. But doing a little bit, but what's it like if you're really doing a lot of that stuff? Are you going from place to place? Are you doing it from home? Is it like you're getting calls and you have a schedule of stuff that you're doing every day, or what?
Early on when this ABC round came on, they would want me to actually go in. But since I've been doing the ABC from home, and the truth is I don't ever leave the house. We have a studio built not only in our guest house, but Elizabeth has her studio in her area of the house. We have like separate wings, you know. But the Larry works here during the day. Elizabeth works here.
People don't realize how important that is.
Yeah, really.
I mean, you guys would be in your faces all the time.
We don't see each other during the day. It's like the day starts at about 8 o'clock, give or take. She's in her world doing her work. I'm in my world, and then we'll grab a quick lunch, you know, and then, then hey, I got to go back to work. And so 10 more steps out to the guest house. But I never really leave home anymore, Dan, to answer your question. I'm always at home. Very rarely does anyone ever ask me to step out of the home studio, because they're either going to do a phone patch or they're going to do ISDN. A lot of people think ISDN is dead. It's not dead in my world. I use it every day, you know, and I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't. Yet. Yeah. But when it does, I'll be ready.
And you're doing it in L.A. with people in L.A. and probably various
and
other places.
All over the country. Mainly New York is my main setup, and Philadelphia, Florida, anybody all over the country. A lot of East Coast people, you know, are really into the ISDN for the L.A. talent. But if they want me phone patch, no problem. I don't charge you for that. You know, it's always free to get me. I don't charge extra for phone patch. I don't ever charge any extra for anything because I like to work a lot. Yeah. And so, I don't make it hard for people to get me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, now tell me a little bit more about doing promo. Really, what is the technique? Because there's a handful of people really who are really excelling at it. And, you know, I hear them on all these shows. Now, it's great that we've got 10 billion networks now that all need different promo. And I think I'm sure that's driving a lot of people's career. But what is it that they're looking for when it comes to doing that type
because
of stuff?
Because Dan really wants to know.
I really want to know.
In my case, what they want is, first, I get their attention with the audition. You know, the audition will be, you know, whatever they say, 30 to 40, this energetic. We want you to feel the pace of the script, or we want it to be a little bit urban. Think a little bit like Common, for example. They'll give like notes of who they want it to sound like. And then I'm like, okay, I think I kind of have it in my head what it is that they want. Then I'll go do the audition that way. And then the thing that always turns it around for me is, even though the audition gets you in, when you're doing the work is what kind of saves you, and what you show them, the producers, whoever's working on that particular promo, what all you can do when they ask. You don't do it until they ask. Hey, what about a little bit deeper and a little bit more, I guess, kind of country? Can you do it kind of a little bit more country? Oh, yeah. Then you show them, you hit them with that. And then, what about, can you do kind of an urban approach? Tonight on ABC, an all-new scandal. You know, you show them what you can do in the booth, and then that makes them comfortable that they can get whatever they need from you without having to, they don't have to jump through any hoops. They don't have to call another agent. They don't have to see if, you know, Billy voiceover is available later in the day, because you can do it. So that's my answer. Be versatile and don't be afraid to try new things for them when they ask. You know, you're going to fail a lot when you're in there. Oh yeah, that's not it. That's a little bit too country, or that's a little bit too urban, or that's a little bit too old sounding. Whatever it is that they're asking for, you can go too far. But if you get right in that zone and show them that you can do more than just what your audition did, that is my key to success, I guess, at least what I've had in the last few years. Show them what you can do.
Yeah. Well, and you can't be afraid to fail, like you said. It's like you got to take a chance. And, you know, for every time you don't do it quite right, it means you're one closer to doing it right. Mm-hmm. And but taking that's just the key to doing, you know, improv and ad-libbing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
And what Don would always say, you know, studying all his quotes and things that he would, I never got to meet him, sadly, but the words on the page tell you what to do. Of course, the director is going to tell you what to do, but those words on that page tell you what to do too. In a world. But if it's a sports promo, two teams fighting it out and only one winner. I mean, how else are you going to do that? There's a million ways you could do it, but there's one plan in your head, and that's the one that you give them first. Two teams fighting it out, and there's only got to be one winner. We like that, but can you soften it up? Two teams fighting it out, but there's only going to be one winner. But now we want it urban, you know? Two teams fighting it out. And there can only be one winner. Oh, we like that, but we want the Sam Elliott. And then you flip on Sam Elliott. You know, my thing is,
they don't know what they want until they hear it, right?
Well, yeah, really.
I hit them with a lot of different things. And once they like me for a reason, they like you, and they're going to keep calling you. That's what I find. Do a great job.
You're showing how versatile you are.
Yeah, show them how versatile you are. Show them that you know what you're doing and that you can do the work that they want. Right now, not in 10 minutes, not when you clear your throat, not when you have a drink of water. Now, we want blank. Do it. And if you do it well enough, well, they might call you every day.
Just lost audio.
Oh, really?
Yep. We lost them.
No.
I hear Elizabeth. I'm still showing. I got full 5x5 on this end.
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing Elizabeth.
Hello.
Talk, Larry.
Hello.
Now it's working.
How could you not hear Larry?
I don't know. It's impossible. It sounded like you sounded like you unkeyed his mic there for a second.
Weird.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
So that's the answer. You know, be ready. Be versatile. Be ready to fail, like Dan was talking about earlier. You know, if you're going to be a voice actor, man, 10 things you do out of 12 are going to be, you know, pretty bad. Let's be honest. They're not going to like it. But you know what? You have to still do it. You have to show them that you can do it. They might not like it, but what about that one thing that they love that they didn't know you could do? And then you get a gig for a year because of it. How many times does that happen?
Even if it's good, they may not like it because even if it's just not the right thing.
It might be traditional and it might be the old school way of doing it. And they didn't even know you could do that. Oh, I never heard that on your demo. Oh, yeah, I can do the old school kind of like, I can kind of tonight on NBC. We didn't know you could do that. Oh, you didn't? Yeah, I can do that.
We don't want announcers. Yes, you do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, now I'm starting to hear lots of different styles. Aside from, you know, the fact that we're now starting to hear women on promo and imaging and stuff like that, which is just fabulous. I remember the years where they say, "Oh, women don't sound good on that." I'm like, "Give it a shot for crying out loud!"
Who says? I mean, who says this was
years ago. This was a long time ago, back in my radio days. Mm-hmm. But I'm hearing stuff like I'm hearing almost whispering promo. I mean, I can't remember. Is it Chris Fries that does the Americans where he comes out? And he's like, you know, viewer discretion advised. It's killer. It's just great stuff.
Yeah.
And it just works so well with that particular show. But each show has its own style. And I guess you really have to study each one of those and match what they're looking for.
And the sport networks, they know exactly what they want. You know, ESPN knows exactly when they called me recently to do the NBA playoffs, they had a vision in mind that they wanted that old West thing. So we did the Sam Elliott treatment. And people seemed to like that. It was that basically like a ripoff of the Big Lebowski, that same kind of cowboy kind of thing. But they put it with the basketball and it just seemed to work. And then someone else might want, you know, the MLB network might want just a full fledged kind of urban-y power read. I did one the other day that I called Urban Sport and people seemed to like that one. Just try different things, show different colors. Don't be afraid to fail and practice. All day, every day. When I'm not working, I actually practice. I still pull out. I read them off the iPad now, but I'll just get scripts. I'm like, how would I do this if I was in session right now to really tell them I wanted this gig? What would I do different? You know, just. And then when your time comes and they're going to be on the line with you eventually, then you have all this stuff ready to go and you're not even afraid to do it anymore. You know, you might be kind of timid at first when you try to do an urban voice and you're a white guy like me. But then if you do it and it doesn't sound like you're. That, you know, you really are acting. You're acting, you know.
Tonight, find out which team has what it takes to cross the finish line.
And it doesn't sound weird, fake, insulting, or anything. And you're like, oh, I'm acting. They like that. They'll pay me for that. Hey, it's another acting role. Right?
Absolutely. All right, let me put you on the spot here. The two of you, George, you can join in as well, of course, since you're already sitting there. Let's because this is what we were doing last week when you guys were in Vegas and we were like doing all these liners and stuff. Throw them a situation and go with it.
Yeah. Like improv.
Oh, kinda. No, you mean like improv? No, it is improv.
VO improv.
So okay. Let's come up with something here. Like, okay. You're shopping at Gelson's.
Okay.
That's a supermarket in, you know, in LA, folks. For those of you in Des Moines, you run into each other in front of the produce section. Go.
Well, I just moved to LA about 2 weeks ago, ma'am, and this probably sounds like a pickup line or something. Any chance you help me with these melons?
Perhaps I can. It's funny, I just moved here too.
You did?
Gosh, well, maybe I can help you with your melons. Would you like to go ahead and try mine?
I'm looking for the seedless kind. I don't know if you know where those are, but I'd like some seedless melons.
Dairy dial 16, dairy.
You could go on and on.
Dairy just came to mind. I don't know why.
Dairy melons.
Very, very good.
It was subliminal.
Clean up aisle four.
Yeah, what?
There you go.
Right. I think I would have do some improv. Actually, I have to admit,
it's fun. You just got you can't say no. That's the whole key.
We can
to
make
improv.
You two do some improv.
What are those things you do? And what are those little connector words?
And then what happened?
And then what happened?
So, any others? Any other scenes? That was a grocery store, and we just happened to choose country. You're not telling us what voice to be.
No, I'm letting you.
We'll pick our own. Okay.
I mean, I could say do that again, but do it as Italians.
We could. You want us to do that? I can do kind of like a New Yorker style Italian. Okay. I'm going to do that. That's what I can do. You ready?
Okay.
Hey, imagine meeting you here at Gelson's. Be honest with you, this isn't the first time I've seen you.
What are you doing and looking at me? I shop here, but you shouldn't be following me.
Well, I couldn't help but following you. You know what I'm saying? I was walking down the aisle, pushing my cart, getting a couple of cans of soup and things, and I see you from time to time.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey. Why? Why you ask?
I am from Italy, darling.
Well, you look like a pure Italian to me. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, you too. I've been online for like 2 minutes waiting for yous to get through the line. Move up!
We got this guy back here giving us a hard time. I might have to take him out in the parking lot and talk to him.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. I will help you.
Scene. Talk about being put on the spot. Hey.
Boy, that is pressure. Oops.
Yes.
Thanks for making us do that. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, after the show, it always gets better.
Yeah.
It always does.
Now do it as Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, do it as Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, the grocery store?
Who will Elizabeth be as she doesn't really do a Morgan Freeman?
No.
I'll be working at the grocery store.
She can just be a regular
you're
clerk.
The checkout girl.
She's the checkout girl, okay.
And Morgan is buying Oreos.
Okay.
Okay, sir, would you like paper or plastic?
I'd prefer plastic, please.
Oh, my. Let me ask you some more questions. Are you going to pay by cash or check?
I'll probably use my Visa. It's everywhere I want to be.
Hey, check it out. It's that guy Morgan Freeman.
Yes, I'm Morgan Freeman. I buy Oreos and put my pants on just like you.
Well, I don't know about that, but maybe.
He must think he's God or something.
Well, as a matter of fact,
I played
God in many movies. And, of course, you probably got a DVD or two of me playing God. And, of course, I've got to be heading out of this store. In fact, I'm late for an audition right now.
Have a great day, shop. Thank you for shopping at Gelson's, honey.
I'll be back real soon. All right.
And that's what it is.
E-whams.
E-whams.
Yeah.
You guys, Beat Sports Reporter. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I can give you one real quick. Beat Sports Reporter is talking about why you can't get a good cup of coffee anymore. Two sports reporters. Go.
Two sports reporters.
Yep, sports reporters. Baseball announcers. Reporter.
All right. Bottom of the seventh inning, count it's 3-2. But you know something? Before they even throw this pitch, I got to tell you, have you been over to over to Starbucks lately? For some reason, this stuff is just as bitter as all get out. George, this is me?
Oh, crap.
It's you, yeah.
I was putting you guys on the spot.
Yeah.
I know, it's awful. And you know what? I stopped drinking coffee for about 5 years because I got the mean shakes. And I decided to go back onto it because everybody was telling me I sounded like I was starting to fall asleep at the microphone. So I picked up coffee. But this stuff's awful.
Yeah, but it's working for you.
It's doing the job, huh? It's got me hyped up real good.
Yeah, because as we all know, baseball's not that exciting, but it's our job to make it sound exciting. And oh, there's a long fly. It's gone foul. And now it's time for another spot. We're going to talk about Chasin' Sanborn Coffee, because nothing makes baseball better than Chasin' Sanborn.
There you go. Scene. See?
Thank you.
Wow.
It's fun, but you're all,
I wasn't expecting.
You're on the spot, but it's fun. You got to do it. Yeah. What are you going to do? Not do it?
Yeah. No.
You might not be great at an Italian voice, or maybe you don't do whatever, but when you're asked to do an improv or to do something that's out of your comfort zone, you better give it a try.
Right? Just go for it. It doesn't matter if the accent could be off. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't matter. You're doing it. You're just going for it.
At least you're doing it, and everybody else said no because they're too embarrassed, but you're doing it.
Yeah.
You showed up.
somehow they always say, and I end up sounding like a Yiddish. It just ends up that way. Walk into an old folks home or something like that, you'll always walk out sounding like you're from Brooklyn.
I pick up whatever accent I'm around the most. If I'm hanging out, when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, I caught myself starting
suddenly
to talk
talking like this.
I saw a little bit, just a little bit.
Just when we go home, we can't help. You know, we're around our family. Mm-hmm. You know, we start doing Texas. It too. Immediately, we go to y'all within mm-hmm. a day.
Y'all turns on immediately.
Because now we're kind of trained to say, what are you guys going to do? Now that's part of our life. But the second we get home, mm-hmm. what time do y'all want us to meet y'all. You there? You know,
and if you're in Pittsburgh, it's what Ian's going to do.
Wow.
And if you're in the eastern part of Pennsylvania, it's what are you's going to do?
Yins? Ooh, I haven't heard that.
Yins, yous.
I've heard the yous. Yeah, yous exactly. And yuds.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. Pennsylvania is a cornucopia of crazy accents.
Weird. Yeah.
Intriguing.
It's fun, though, when you go back home and you pick that accent back up and then you bring it back again. I like it.
My favorite word from my hometown, from my part of the country, is hoagie.
What's that?
A hoagie. You know, sandwich? Yeah, yeah. But you got to put the hoagie. Hoagie.
Hoagie.
I'll take an Italian hoagie.
Take a
hoogie.
We call them subs, man. We just call them subs.
No, it's a hoogie.
A hoogie?
Anyway.
Oh, you over there, Dan?
I'm here, yeah. See, now in Buffalo, we don't have an accident. We just talk like this. Hey, we're from Buffalo. No accent. It's totally straight.
Just loud.
It's very loud.
It's just very loud.
There's a lot of shows that we watch. I forget what one of them. One of them is, I think, taped in Massachusetts or somewhere. And it's called Down East Dickering. And they have this really cool kind of accent. Have you guys ever seen that show?
No.
And we always try to find new places to get what we call CD. When we're in a restaurant or we're out somewhere, or we're in an elevator, and we hear someone doing like a strange sound or a weird cadence or a weird lilt, we'll look at each other and go, CD.
Character
and that means character development. And we're picking up what this lady did, and then we'll go back in the hall when no one's around. We're not trying to make fun of people.
Right.
But then immediately what we do is we start working on what we just heard. So example, we heard something in the elevator, then we'll get out and we'll go, I don't know about you, but I want to go back to the room. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, of course. I want to go back to my room.
We're
Come
talking
on.
Like the people that we just heard. Susie told me she was going to meet us in the restaurant, but she never did. And then we saw this, and then we did that. And then we're just working it out because you never know when we might need that or we might need something like that.
So then you kind of have, you practiced it a little and then you got it. It's you never know when pocket. You're going to need something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That always have that stuff in your little mental notebook or in your back pocket and drag it out. And sometimes you pull it out when you least expect it. Where did I find that? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hopefully
yeah.
you pull it out when people want to see it.
Or hear it. What? True.
Oh, I mean hear it.
Yeah, hear it.
Hear it, yes. Very good. All right, if any of you have any question for our fine guest this evening.
Oh, please ask us questions.
Yes, just toss it in the chat room there, and I believe that the lovely Shelley Avellino is in there, and she will get it onto our our Google Doc here. You guys have to see how we do this. Over the distance. Once George and I are in the same studio together, we're going to drive each other insane.
I know. I think we're going to need a couple of shows just to get kind of back in the groove.
It's like being in radio here, seeing George work all the controls and he's got the microphone stands. It reminds me of being in radio.
Yeah. Can't help.
The good old days.
Yeah. Can't help but turn it on.
I came from radio and I'm proud of it. You know, imagine being on the air every day, having to come up with things to relate to people and on the spot, you know, that talk about voice acting. Radio is the ultimate voice acting, and people don't know it. They always think, oh, you were a disc jockey in 1973. No, there's a lot more than that. You know, you have to learn how to interview people. You have to learn how to think on your feet, you know. And
it's good background for you. Then you just have to learn how to do more than one voice. Mm-hmm.
Right? I always did top 40, so I wasn't like Mr. You know, Interview and Mr. Funny Man. I was more about here's the new song, and don't forget tomorrow we're going to be at Club B, you know. But for the most part, you know, you sure learn a lot about how to be quick on your feet in radio. So people who think radio, you can never really make it in voiceover if you were in radio because you sound like an announcer or a DJ. Mm-hmm. Well, you can get over that. You know,
sure.
I never really talk like a radio DJ, though. You know how people think the stereotypical way of that kind of thing that we were joking around.
H22, another chance to win coming up within 15 minutes. And right now, Huey Lewis in the news.
I never did that.
Right.
You know, I was always me. So I guess since I was always me, it's easy to make that transition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did easy listening, you know, where it was like,
oh, yeah,
Joy FM 96.
Wow.
All music, all the time.
Except for just then.
Except then. I'm actually still doing some of that stuff, but that's kind of cool. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of questions here from the audience. Okay. And if you have more, please throw them into the chat.
I'm depending on my good buddies out there to ask questions, please.
Well, we'll start off with the amazing Suzanne Roberts.
Okay.
Let's see here. In respect to Larry's advice to being ready, do you like improv or acting classes?
Yes.
Do you take a lot of classes?
When I first got to town, it's been 8 years now for me. The first thing I did, besides get an agent, was enroll in Santa Monica's West Side improv class. And I got up there on the stage with those other people and worked and learned how to do improv, learned how to create characters. Kind of like what you'd think of as the people that get on SNL did. You know, all of those guys are all improv people. So to a lesser degree, I wanted to at least learn about that world. So I enrolled immediately into the West Side and learned a lot about just creating characters and not being afraid on stage and things like that. And then I said, well, now that I kind of have a feel for that, I want to get into an on-camera acting class. And so a guy named Michael Gier, G-I-E-R, who's been in a ton of movies and soap operas and things like that, was offering a class in Santa Clarita. So I joined that, and I learned all that he had to offer. So I kind of had like, all right, I'm going to learn a little bit about the on-camera world, the improv, and I've already had my radio background, and I'd been doing voiceover for, you know, at that point, maybe 5 or 6 years where I was actually making a little bit of money, but radio is always my first thing. I'm like, all right, now that I've got all this, now what can I do? And so it's been 8 years, 9 years now of only the VO world. So that's my advice. Why not take both? Why not take improv and see how you like that? And then maybe try some camera, on camera, and see how you like that, or acting in general.
Shelly, how about you? I mean, I'm thinking of our question person. Sorry, Shelly. Yeah. Elizabeth, what has that played in your role in getting better as a voice actress?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I want to take improv classes, but you know, I actually came from a theater background. So I did, you know, a lot of musical theater and just theater in general, but definitely wanting to take voiceover classes, that's a huge thing. Taking VO classes, improv, I would highly suggest. I want to take that as well. But I think being able to kind of let go and have fun with it, plus making yourself become whoever it is that you are. You know, sometimes I think of it as some version of myself, or, you know, if it's something totally not like me, then I have to take on that person. I have to take on that character. But I definitely totally recommend, you know, taking acting classes, because that can help you start getting into what it feels like. So there's VO classes, which is one thing, and it's usually very specific to voiceover and, you know, microphone technique and reading copy technique, keeping your eye on the copy. And then there's acting classes themselves, which helps you to learn how to be an actor and what it feels like.
So you came from theater, but you've taken some voice work classes specific to voice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a lot with Nancy Wolfson. I'm going to be doing some stuff with Elaine Craig over at Garden of Sound, Mark Cashman. I'm trying to think who else.
Yeah, you're definitely getting your training on.
Yeah.
Big time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
Joyce. Hello, Joyce Castellanos for promo.
Oh,
hello,
absolutely. Yeah. You got to get Joyce.
She's amazing.
Joyce.
Yeah,
we need Joyce.
Joyce and Jean.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people forget that, you know, as an actor, you've got to constantly work at your craft, and never let your guard down, and always be ready for the next new thing, and that sort of thing. And it's important to study. You're a professional. You've got to do your homework, and you've got to be ready every time. And that's important to remind people that, like me.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to cut all the mics, man.
There was a siren.
It's hot here.
I heard it.
It's actually warm.
I saw you fanning them all.
Yeah. I was going to say what Elizabeth just said about actually becoming the character. That's one of my favorite things. And I try to explain that to people, like whenever you kind of become a different person other than who you are for a piece of VO. Well, how do you do it? People always go, well, how do you change who you are? And it's like, the only way I can explain it is when I'm in that booth reading that copy for that director, for that piece, I am that other guy. And as weird as that sounds, I'm not me anymore. I'm not me. I'm the dude that's doing this. I'm telling you about the game, or I'm telling you about how cool the network is. I'm not me. I'm someone else, and I totally believe that I'm someone else when I do it. That's the answer. They're like, but you sound just like another person. It's because I am another person while I'm in there. It sounds weird.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you become another person?
Well,
that's the crux of acting.
You become, if you're playing the part of a tiger, you don't go in and just be like, hey, what's going on? I'm a tiger. No, you kind of, I would imagine that you would kind of like maybe put your
hey, I'm a tiger.
You know, you do different things with your hands, with your hands.
Yeah, head. Tiger from
from New York.
Bayonne. Exactly.
From Buffalo. A Buffalo tiger. Yeah. Anyway, that's
okay. The real Amy Fisher asks, this is totally on a totally different tangent here.
Okay.
What is ISDN going now for LA, especially in the Valley? I should ask that myself.
Where is it going?
No.
How's it going?
What's
it going for?
For you, Dan, because you're in a residence, right?
Yes, I am.
$54.
A month, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, now, if you want it to be a commercial grade, you'll pay more. But since you're, home studio inside of a residence, that's what I know. And they also have their own department now, believe it or not. At AT&T, if you just call up and ask for the ISDN department, I didn't even know there was a department. And then I found out there was. Nice. So, wow. This last move that we made, easy. One phone call. ISDN, Thursday. How much? Yeah. 54. Click. Yeah. And then they put it in. Not even one hiccup.
In the past, weird. It took days.
That before, when we lived in another part of Los Angeles, it took about 4 weeks to even get anybody to know what it was. DSL? Right. It's ISDN. It's for like movies and voiceover. ISDN, let me put you through to somebody and they'll call you back tomorrow. No, they don't. And then you have to call them back and you talk to a new girl that doesn't know what it is and she'll have somebody call you back tomorrow and then they don't. Then you have to call back again and talk to a new guy that finally knows what it is but doesn't know who to send you to.
That's why I've used a guy as kind of like a broker, like I got my buddy Dave Immer at Digiphone and I send everybody to him because it's like I'm not going to spend that time spinning my wheels.
I would say that's the way to go. I know Dave, and you should do that. But this time, I just made that one phone call.
You got lucky. Got to the right person, yeah.
And then they came out, and they put the wires in. People think it's dead and it's going away. No, not for L.A. They know that there's a lot of people out here that do this kind of work, and they're not going to get rid of it.
I hear 2020 is what AT&T is telling customers when it's going to be cutting it off.
Mm.
I don't know if there's any truth to that.
If there's demand and there's people that want to pay for it, are they really going to cut it off? I guess. They could.
There's a certain point where they decide it costs more than they make.
And when they do, I'll be ready. Because I have Source Connect, and I'm ready to go with it, but not once.
I was going
to
say.
Has anyone ever asked me for it yet? Not once.
I don't think we've never used it yet.
They ask for phone patch every day.
Yeah. I think it's very market specific, maybe, because some people use it every day. Some people use it. Some little bit of both. Some when people ISDN, use almost all phone patch and almost no ISDN. And, it's
when it goes, I'll be ready. That's the way I think of it. Like, when it's dead, then I'll put the box in the garbage. But until people want it every day, what am I going to do? I don't have ISDN. It's Source Connect only for me. Until they want it, I've got what I've got,
Yeah.
But I'm ready to go when they need to change.
Amazing. And the rest of the country, it's like, we're desperate for it and you can't get it in LA. Oh, you have it because you don't want to be on the 101.
I think you have to have it if you're here.
Have very long commutes.
Be ready to do your phone patch magic. There's nothing wrong with, being on the line. There are people who are against this, but what if you had a client and you were doing a job for someone and they really did want you to, maybe you don't have a pro phone patch rig or whatever. You could probably put the phone, even though it's kind of like ghetto or whatever, you could still do a good job and read the lines. And they could hear it and then send it to them. You could do that. You could make that work if you wanted to. I choose to do like a traditional phone patch, but you can make it work if you wanted to and still give a quality product. In the end, remember, all they want is that quality audio that you provide. They don't really have to hear you crisp and clean on the phone. They know that you're laying it down, that you're recording it right, and you're using a great mic, and you're using great technique. They want the audio. They don't really need the phone call so much. That's my thought.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, if you got any questions for Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart, throw them in the chat room and we'll get them on here. We got a few more to go, and then we'll try and clean everything up here. I'll go get the mop, and we'll try and finish up our show in just a little bit. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our guests right after this.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Welcome back to East West Audio Body Shop. Dan Leonard in the East and George Widom in the West. We'd like to have you here. Sit, listen, you like it.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Widom on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East. Now back to E-Webs. Thank Dan and George's wives. For what? You have no idea. Now, here's Dan and George.
All right, we're back here with Larry Davis and Elizabeth Stewart on East West Audio Body Shop. A few more questions from our audience. They seem to start to, they're piling up already. All right. Ask them and
that's
boom,
what I wanted. I wanted people to ask us things because, you know, whenever George and Dan asked us to be on the show, we didn't know what we were going to be on for. You know, like, yeah, come on, like, and talk about
there's
what?
No agenda here.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, we don't have any, you know, other than, hey, we work. What else are we supposed to talk about, you know?
Yeah,
that's right. All right. Shelly Avellino asks, what is your advice for women getting into promo who are not based in L.A., like obscure places like Albuquerque?
Ms. Stewart has an answer for that, I know.
Well, definitely work hard. Gosh, you know, just the best thing I can say is to just keep listening to promo. Go on cable, go online, just start listening to promo copy that lots of other women are doing and start to listen to what it is that women are doing. And actually women and men, I would say to listen to both and just kind of get a feel for what the shows are about. I take this really large overall scope with the way I think about voiceover and promo and stuff. And I'll try to compact it down as much as I can, but basically, kind of watching and looking to see where things are going in terms of trends with promo. Trends with promo, trends with TV shows, the types of TV shows that are on. What is it that they're trying to do? I've always just naturally just sort of gotten to the point where I'm like sort of predicting, oh, I think that this is going to start heading in this direction. And I really kind of start giving... I don't really just mock people. I go ahead and I think realistically, I get an idea of what the show's about. And I think to myself, okay, how is it? It's like you're sitting down and talking to somebody. So you have to have an understanding of what the show's about and you have to care about what the show is. And so it's as if you're talking to someone or to a group of friends about this particular program. And it's like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Oh my God, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So I really kind of have that approach that I take about it. And I would just say practice doing that. I mean, I don't know.
And not just, like you said, not just women, because men are the dominant voice for so long. I think a lot of women's stuff is probably kind of flavored by it with the men too, right?
And Elizabeth shared with me at one of her very first sessions for ABC Family, they had something for her when she walked in. Tell them what happened.
What?
Remember, they asked you what you thought.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, the producers there, they said to me, well, what do you think we should do?
That
and
never
I thought,
happened.
Oh, my. And right it was off the bat. It was amazing because, I don't know, as soon as I walked in, I felt really, really comfortable. And it was so wonderful. I didn't feel egotistical or anything. I just thought, oh, my God, they actually give a crap about what I have to say. So it was a little thing. It was a movie that Selena Gomez was in. And, you know, I sat down, I said, you know, this is my take on Selena Gomez and, you know, blah, blah. I was just giving my ideas and I just got up there and I did it. And that was the first thing that I did for them, actually. But it was nice. It was nice to have that, in, you know, exchange and be able to talk with them and you can be on the same page, you know, but yeah. But, you know, really listening, watching the shows, paying attention to the shows, just kind of getting yourself in practice, listening to things that you don't necessarily like and things you do like, that will help you to understand what kind of audience they're going after. So, you know, for example, if, you know, like I always say, you can do this, of course, with radio commercials, and you can do it with promo as well. Sit there and listen and think, okay, you know what? I would have liked it if they had done it this way instead, or think, it's not to criticize the person, but it really helps you practice thinking, okay, you know what? If somebody was talking to me about this show, this is how I would want to be talked to, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So you really do, it's really not about, you know, regardless whether it's males or females, it's not really about like how the voice sounds or anything. It's really about taking a more proper perspective of what it is the show is about.
Joyce touches that a lot. Joyce is our good friend, and she just directed me the other day. I was doing some new demos. As a matter of fact, that's why we were out in Las Vegas to do the some new demos, promo and trailer demo. And, you know, you think you could just go in and do it yourself. Well, I like to hire someone to direct, to give me ideas and give me colors and shapes that I didn't think of. And she saved me at least two or three times where I was going to do like a traditional thing, like I've done 100 times, that like people are kind of bored of. She goes, well, what if you did it as if you were actually one of the guys in the show? She told me that once. And I was like, really? I'm one of the guys in this show. Mm-hmm. And then I did the read, and she's like, perfect. Perfect. That's the one we're gonna, you know, that kind of thing. And you're like, oh, I would never have thought that, you know?
Yeah. It's about getting that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an important thing. You get stuck in it. You get stuck in a rudder. You really are kind of setting your thinking. And it's always important to have somebody just sort of like throw you in a different direction. And that's it's what we call a pattern interrupt. And it's usually very, very effective. Tremaine Kendrick Mosley originally said, I don't have a question. He just wanted to say hi. And hi. Thanks for the pep talk. But then he says, oh, wait, now I do have a question.
Okay.
He says, I know you do a lot of network promo, but with your range, have you considered animation? And will you be doing the next installment of Madden, the football game?
Wow. Great question, because I just got, right before we left the house, I got the note that I'm doing the new Madden. So that's five years in a row on Madden. Yay. Yes, I'm the new, I'm the announcer man inside the game again. As far as animation goes, I've done a couple of things, you know, here or there. And people are going, well, what have you done? And then they want to know, you know, what the titles are. And the truth is, I do them, and it's sad that I don't remember what they are. But I'm not one of those people that, like, I'm not really into the animation world, I'll just be honest. I'm more into commercial and promo. And so when I get one of those gigs, I do it. And one was about a wolf. I was the lead wolf, and I can't remember what it was.
Lead wolf.
Yeah, I was the lead wolf. An actor quit, and then I replaced him. He was I forget the name.
Let's put it this way. When you forget what gigs you're getting, that means you're working enough.
Maybe. Yeah. Mr. Glover, not Corey Glover, that's his son. Who's the older Glover?
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover was in this show. He decided that he didn't want to do it anymore, and then I was brought in to replace him to sound just like Mr. Glover, the best that I could, as this character that he was a longtime voice of. And, you know, and then other animation that I've ever done, you know, like here or there you do one, and then it's not my strong point, although I wish I could get more. I'm more of a, I find myself more in the promo world, in the commercial world, and narration. Boy, do I do a lot of the narration work, you know, which is great, because that's where like the Morgan Freeman-esque style comes in, or my old teacher, Mr. August, comes in, and different sounds like that. But yeah, I'm not Mr. Animation, but I'd like to be, you know. Maybe I'll take some classes.
You're in the right place to do it.
Take some classes.
Yeah, give it a shot. Samuel Fleming asks, how many projects on an average day do you do?
How many, like jobs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 5 is the average.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I hope for more. If it's less than 5, I consider that a bad day. But 5, I'm okay with every day. And that's been the average for years. Mm-hmm. And I always tell Elizabeth my daily quota, like, I did it. I got 6 today, or I got 7, you know, or whatever the case may be. But any less than 5, I feel like I'm not doing enough work. I'm not either getting the word out, or I'm not in touch with all my people, my agents, my trailer people, my my promo people, you know, I've got a lot of different people that I work with, and Jason Marks talent I work with.
Oh, yeah.
Dano talent out of Charlotte, North Carolina. I work with William Morris. I'm with Stars in San Francisco. I got to think of a Paradigm in New York. So I've got to keep all these people, you know, as long as I'm in touch with them. I'm in touch with them all on a weekly basis. I touch base either with email or with phone calls. And if I don't get 5 gigs a day, I know that I need to up that. So as long as I'm getting 5, I'm happy. That's about where I am.
How many auditions do you usually do?
30.
A day? 30, yeah.
30 auditions a day, 5 jobs a day, every single day.
There's a ratio.
Except for the weekend. On the weekend, I choose to kind of like lay it back. You know, they're going to want you to have some things in on Monday, and I'll knock those out on Friday night so that I can actually enjoy a Saturday and Sunday of like, you know, relax like everyone. I want to be, you know, I want to watch football and have fun like everyone else. So I try not to do things on Saturday and Sunday unless they want it. If they really, really need it, I'll do it. But, you know, for the most part, do it all on during the week and then have fun on the weekend and then go right back to work Monday morning like everyone else. Right?
I have a question. Is there a certain point where you create a precedence of being so available that, I mean, and this is probably out of your control as a voice actor these days, but because the precedence has already been made, but it's just expected that you're available. Like,
and my answer to that is, I am.
Yeah.
As crazy as that is. Like, people are like, well, don't you ever want time off? And don't you ever want to not work? And my answer is no. When I'm not working, all I'm thinking about is when my next gig is, or what cool character I'm going to get to be, or what cool thing I'm going to do in Madden this year. Or if I don't, you know, what about the Barbecue Pitmaster show? I wonder if I can kind of like make that a little cooler this year. I'm always thinking about it. So when I'm in there working, I'm the happiest I've ever been. Work to me is like water. Without that work and without getting my hydration, I'd die on the bench. I would just, I can't be a sideline player. I have to work all day, every day, or I don't feel like I'm doing it right. You know, like I want to work every minute of every day, whether it be for a big video game or maybe like a small, you know, furniture ad or whatever. I want to give my best to everything that I do every time and work hard. That's always been my goal, you know. And even when I was kind of starting out in this world, I always thought, well, if I get what I want, will I complain about it? If I finally get 5-8 gigs a day, will I complain about it? I won't. I kind of finally got where I wanted. I'm with William Morris. I'm in LA. I do this for a living. I'm not going to, when you win the lottery, you don't complain about the taxes, right? So I'm not going to complain about work. I want to work.
You complain about the taxes until you win the lottery.
I can't wait to leave here to get home to do all the work.
You think of every excuse you can. It's like sour grapes. You don't want to win the lottery anyway. I got to pay all those taxes.
I want to work, though. See, because what would you do if you didn't have work to do in the VO world? What would you do? You'd sit around and think about it? Sit around and just wish you had a gig? Well, when you get a gig and you're lucky enough to have 5 a day or whatever, maybe you only have 1 a day, don't you kick ass on that 1 a day?
Absolutely.
Don't you give it everything you've got every time you do an audition because you want – you know what's going to happen when you do a great job on that audition? You might not be right for that particular product that time. But the people who listen to that, oh, man – this girl would be great for product X, though. She's not right for this. But, man, wouldn't she be great for project B? And then you get called for project B. And then you do a great job on that. And it's like a big snowball. It can never end. You know, and you have to be careful, at least in my world. Like, I don't think I need any more agents. You know what I mean? Like, I think I have just the right amount. I forget how many I have, and it's probably too many. But, like, that's where the 30 or 40 auditions a day come in. Because, like...
Right.
They're all coming in from all different angles, and I try to get them all in, man. It's hard to get 30 in a day and do great on every one of them, but that's my goal, you know? I'm going to keep working until I get them done.
Yeah. As far as taxes go, it's always good to do government work so you can earn it back.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm the voice of the IRS, by the way.
Really?
So, yeah.
You are.
You don't want to hear that
the
voice.
The Internal Revenue Service. We're on your side.
You can fool me every time. Sharon Lambert asked about ISDN to go. Now, this is a bridging service. Have you had to do ISDN jobs on a trip and then use a bridge? Have you delved into that yet?
I haven't. Whenever I do go on these little trips and whenever I do go to San Diego, I find a studio.
Yeah.
When I'm in Houston, I go to Wire Road Studios. When I'm in Las Vegas, I go to Adrenaline.
Yeah.
So I haven't had to deal with that because those fine people are usually available to me because they've got multiple studios. And, hey, I need 11 o'clock tomorrow for a phone patch. You got it, buddy. So I haven't had to be in a hotel room with the pillows over and a cell phone tether and all that kind of madness yet.
Right.
If it ever came down to that, I would figure out how to do it. But my goal is I'll do it from a real studio until I don't have to. That's kind of the way I think about it. I'm ready to do the other stuff if they need me to do it, or I'll figure out a way to do it. But I personally haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
Have I recorded like some jobs in a hotel room? Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they never knew that I was recording with pillows.
That's the key.
But because I use the really, really good mic, the 416 with pillows and
good mic technique and improvising.
Yeah, blankets and
I carry that thing with me.
The robe over your head.
Yeah,
that's what I do. I think he makes fun of me. He's like, I think you're overdoing it. I'm like, no.
It is an audition, and you've got a robe over your head,
and it works for me. Actually, no, I've recorded jobs in hotel rooms too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of radio imaging I hear her doing. She's like, can you hold it down in there in the shower? I'm recording radio.
Don't go to the bathroom right now, damn
you. I'll just be sitting there going. And then I hear, tonight on Hot 103. And then I know she's done because she's not yelling anymore. And I'm like, then I can finally come out of the bathroom. All right, she's done doing her radio thing. Now what?
What are you doing in there?
All right, we got a couple more questions. And of course, that's a great segue because next week we have. What is it we have on next? We have Eric Leopardi, Roger's brother, who's going to talk about ISDN to go.
Right, the bridging thing.
Which is the bridging service. So that ought to be very interesting.
We got a lot more questions, and you guys have already given us way more time than I ever would imagine. Should we do a rapid fire round?
Sure.
Let's do a rapid fire.
Okay.
All right, man. Let's do that.
Carol Spencer Morgan asks, in your character development and then acting, if someone asked you, can you almost to talk? Oh boy, who wrote this? Oh, well, Carol wrote it. Asked you.
Oops.
No. Can you almost to talk about where a character comes from? How old they are? Almost any aspect of your character, do you both do that in depth?
Absolutely. Yeah. The quick answer is absolutely. And before this became all day, every day for me, I used to have these index cards where I would write the name of my character, write what he was wearing, what he had for lunch, what he likes to do, and I'd name him Phil, Tommy, Bill the Farmer. And I know everything about these people before I even start talking like them. I know everything about them. Where they're from, what their family likes, what kind of games they like to play.
Mm-hmm. All right. The announcer, the one and only Doug Turkell. Has Larry taken any promo coaching? Who does he recommend? You mentioned a few names earlier.
When it comes down to promo coaching, let me think about that for just 1 second. I've worked with Joyce on occasion, just kind of like through a friendly basis when she was an agent at AVO, I was on the phone with her a little bit, but like actually taking classes from anyone in the promo world. We're talking promo. Have I taken a promo class? I've never taken a promo class.
Yeah, it's just
something that is inside of me.
Organically came.
You got it or you don't?
Well, not that I don't love classes and not that I wouldn't take classes, but have I ever taken a promo class? No. I did do a thing with Mary Lynn Wisner about a month and a half ago. So technically that was a class where Steve Van Warmer from Fox Sports was in there. And I even posted it to my Facebook account where I put the whole thing out there, what happened during that class, if you want to call it. It was mainly called Meet the Pros, where talent get to be in front of people they'd never get to be in front of. And so since then, I've been doing all the Fox Sports 1 stuff. I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to see that, but it's on my Facebook. Mm.
Great.
Lee Penny says, what age did you first discover you like doing impersonations? You a kid?
Is this for me or Elizabeth?
Were you mucking around as a kid? Both of you guys.
For me, it's something I've always done. I would say the age that I realized I was doing impressions of teachers, 7.
Yeah.
I mean, dead on 7. Doing the teacher.
7.
Dead on doing
that's
it.
Young.
And knowing that you can do these, then I got asked to do the announcements in the mornings on the, on the thing. You click on it. Hello, Turnigan Elementary. Today we're having hamburgers. So I'm the kid in there doing that. And my mom enrolled me into acting classes at the age of 8 because I wanted to be on TV. And she goes, oh, you want to be on TV? I'm going to get you into an acting class. And then, I think I've told this story before. It's kind of like, it sounds like a brag. I'm not trying to brag. But like, I was just a kid and the people who ran the acting class asked me to teach a class to the other kids, and they paid me $50 a week.
Oh, man, how cool
is
that?
So I made $200 a month teaching other kids how to act. I was like, wait a minute. You want me to teach other kids? Yeah, just teach them what you know and what you talk about to us. Just don't be afraid. Just teach them what you know. I'm like, what do I really know? I just want to be on TV and be in funny commercials and be the funny kid in the amusement park ads. Yeah, but teach kids that. Okay, where's my $50?
You still like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give him $50. Dr. Bill Lord. No, actually, we got to start with Lee Penny here. Lee, for Larry, at what age?
That was the one. That was the last one.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it sounded familiar. Bill Lord asks, what was your breakout moment? In other words, when did you go from booking good, steady work to booking national spots and promos? Is there anything in particular that changed your trajectory?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to say it. William Morris Talent Agency. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Before, I was with a different agency here in town, and things were going pretty good. And, you know, I would get a gig a week or something like that, you know, and I was all right with it. But then, I guess it was about, was it 4 years ago? About 4 years ago, I joined William Morris, and then my whole life has changed. Because since then, they helped me get on with other agents. They helped me get on with Jason Mark's promo and Jason Mark's trailer. Oh, wow. And then now it all just, you know, it's there every day. It's hard work, though, man, getting there. It really is.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you this, because an announcer also asked, with all those agents and managers, do you still have any need to do your own marketing?
Yeah. I mean, you guys know me on Facebook. Me. Yeah. You know, I'm the king of marketing myself, and some people are annoyed with the fact that I put things like, hey, I'm the new voice of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. They're probably like, oh, God, how many jobs is this going to have? You know, it's like,
I know a few guys that
market
do
that. Myself, he's my unofficial and if I don't like promote myself, who else is going to do it? Mm-hmm. And I know some people probably do get annoyed by some of that kind of thing, like, God, he's all right, he did another ESPN commercial. Right. Well, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to, like, look at it. But the people that do like it and the people that do know, all my casting directors that are my friends and my people who give me work on Facebook every day, they do like it. So I'm not doing it for the people that don't like it. I'm doing it for my people who do care about it and do like it.
You can't be people pleasing. It can be annoying. You can't please everybody all the time.
But what are you going to do? True. Promote yourself or not promote yourself? I choose to promote myself.
Yeah.
Mm. All righty. Well, I think we're going to try and wrap it up here. Let's see. We've got one good last question here from Don Griffith. Larry and Elizabeth, with so many gigs and auditions per day, aside from keeping your rooms busy there, how do you keep your golden pipes lubed and in shape all day?
Lots of water. I cannot stress that enough. Tons of water. We actually have, not to promote it, Nestle brand water. Not whatever. But anyway.
It's water!
Huh?
George just spilled all over himself here.
Oh, it's just a drinking
problem. Yeah, you sure did.
I have water.
No, but oh my gosh. If, you know, depending on where you live, if you don't have like good tap water, I mean, I would definitely get water delivered to your house if you can. It's so important. I've always drank water. From the time I was a kid, my mom like stopped us drinking sodas, which was actually a really good thing. And that's kind of how I became addicted to drinking water.
Elizabeth drinks more water than any human I've ever known. I mean, she does. She
seriously.
Drinks. How many glasses
If I'm out of town or something, he's 12, like, oh my God.
12 glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so she's got me into drinking a lot of water. And the other thing that I do are these, they're called diaphragmatic breathing exercises, and they're pretty basic. It's like from the diaphragm, you know, that you probably heard it. I know Dan knows how to do it as a radio guy. The
where you kind of resonate real low into this kind of world. And then, and you do it a few times and you go. And then when you're ready to go, tonight, ABC, an all new, the Billboard Music Awards. You know, and your voice is just ready for it. Do the exercises, drink a lot of water. Mm-hmm. If you like tea, then drink tea.
Yeah.
And
find a good coach that can teach you really good vocal exercises. And actually, you may have to go to a singing instructor, not just a coach, but a singing instructor who can give you proper vocal, because your body is your instrument. So you have to think of like below your diaphragm all the way up to the top of your head, that whole area.
And another thing I like to do is just simply work. The more you work, the more that your voice is warm. And of course, the more warm your voice is, the more checks arrive in the mail.
I like that.
And tea, like throat coat, if you can use throat coat and yogi tea, I think.
Yogi teas in general are good. They're herbals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, guys, it's always a pleasure to see you. Wherever it is we run into each other, which is just about everywhere.
I know. We see you in every hotel lobby all across this great land.
I know.
That's the thing.
They're checking into an airport. Hey, no.
They get out there, you know? They work a lot, and they get out there.
We love to have fun.
You know, that work hard, play hard thing?
We're going to get back out to New York again sometime soon. I miss New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I won't.
Yeah, right.
He won't.
Never again. Honest,
you don't like it.
I mean, New York City.
Yeah, no, New York is good to visit. Well, kids, thanks for being with us this week, and we'll have you on again real soon.
Okay.
And continued good luck, and thanks for a lot of the inspiring stuff you said tonight. I think people were just like eating it up, and they're pleased that you were on tonight. And
and anyone that wants to be my friend on Facebook that has other questions, I'm always trying to help. My favorite thing, you know, it sounds corny, but I love to help other people that want to do this. If you have questions about any question that you want to ask me, just become my friend on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I answer everyone's question as long as I can. You know, it gets kind of overwhelming sometimes, but I really do. I'm one of the few people that admits that I like to help up and coming talent, and not just up and coming talent. I'll help anyone that wants to be my friend. You have a question that something that I do that you want to learn about, please. You know,
yeah. You can find me on Facebook too. And Larry's kind of my unofficial publicist.
No, I'm your official publicist. I promote everyone.
All righty. Well, thanks for being with us. Don't go anywhere. All righty. Well, it's time for...
Oh, where's that button?
It's there somewhere.
It's hidden underneath the thing, and then it got moved over there,
and now it's...
And now it's up here, and now it's down, and now it's gone. It's literally gone.
What was it?
This button right here.
And relax, it's time for some announcements. Alrighty, upcoming shows next week, as we were mentioning, May 4th, we're going to talk about ISDN to go with Eric Leopardi. That'll be very interesting. We'll talk a little bit about how you can do stuff from anywhere, no matter what you got. May 11th, the incredibly funny Rachel Butera, who I can't wait to hear. Ought to be a lot of fun. She's an Ed Studio coach and voice actress and a stand-up comic. So we will have more laughs coming our way.
Can't wait.
She is great.
Can't wait. She's awesome.
Who are our donors this week?
Our donors this week. Well, let me see if I can bring up that email with all the donors in it. And don't want to miss anybody. Man,
there were a bunch this week. We really
each week there's more. It's so nice of you guys. David Smith is a donor of ours who I got to work with in Vegas. Thanks, Dave, for hiring me to come to your studio. That was really kind. Mike Martin, who was my co-pilot and shot all that video at NAB. He was along with me. Great guy. Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Very kind. Very nice guy. Danner Birdsall made a contribution. Eric Aragoni, who never, ever misses an episode. And then Peter Christofferson, he says, wish it could be more, but he made a really healthy donation. That was very kind.
Every little bit helps.
Gosh. Anyway, they go on and on. And you know, we do have sponsors on the show, which is really important, but you guys give us that little bit of extra that let us, you know, buy a little bit nicer camera when it comes time to building that new studio, you know, and gets us a little bit nicer equipment. And maybe we get to do that green screen we've always wanted to do, you know. And that's because of you guys.
Eiffel Tower behind us.
Yeah, it's because of you guys. So
we're
thanks so
Paris.
Much.
We're in Paris. Yes. All right, yeah. So, and if you want to donate right above my head right now, if you go straight above my head on our website, it says donate. And you can donate through PayPal, and that will be a big help to us. We're not making any money off of this. We're just trying to make it better for you guys. Yeah.
Everything that we raise goes 100% back into the show.
That's right. We just do it because it's fun, because we get to have Larry and Elizabeth on with us.
That's right.
That's the best part about
Thanks
this.
Thanks for having us in. And remember, make a donation and help save this poor program. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's not important.
There is hope.
There is still
Alrighty.
Hope.
Thank you, everyone.
Aww. Narrator helper. I got to plug in real quick for narratorhelper.com. That's my wife, Amy. She's a photographer. She's social media director for Edge Studio. And she does audiobook proofing, editing, and mastering at narratorhelper.com.
Wow.
Look her up.
Keeping busy, she is.
She's very busy.
Right. Show logs. You guys know about the show logs. If you don't know about the show logs, if you go up to the top of the page, underneath where it says Hire George, it says show logs. Everything that you could ever want to know about this show or every other show prior to this, the amazing Jack DeGolia has kept track of all that stuff, and that information is there. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you missed the show, you can always watch it on YouTube. You can watch all 186 episodes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on.
Wow. And if you like listening, you don't like watching and sitting and watch, especially a show like tonight at an hour and 45 minutes,
Almost a record.
It's amazing.
Not too long.
Oh, can you believe it?
Thanks for doing the show, guys. Seriously, for all the people who watch it every week and who need all this information and love the camaraderie of the VO world, I thank you for everyone.
Thanks, brother. Yes, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, if you like listening instead, like a real radio show, podcast. We are on a podcast. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com. If you search on any podcatching program, type in ewabs, you'll find us.
Great.
Is Lee still doing that?
Yes, he is.
He said he wasn't, but
I subscribe to my own to the show, and I see it come into my pod thing every week.
Thanks for doing that, Lee. I also like to thank our amazing sponsors, the one and only Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com.
Yay.
VoiceOver Extra, John Florian, whose birthday I believe it is today. Forgot to mention that. Edge Studio, your fine employers for all the great stuff they do. And thanks to all of them for providing an uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth so you can watch eWabs commercial free every week, except for our commercials because you actually want to see those. All righty.
Commercial free.
Yes, sort of. All right. Also, we need to thank our wives who are putting up with this each and every week. You have because you have no idea.
I'm sure I do.
Yes, our amazing producer, Kathy Curtin, for getting all these great guests. Yes. Anthony Getting, who wasn't here tonight because he had a last-second editing job, but he's a hardworking guy. So, Shelley Avellino, thanks for taking over in the chat room and getting all those questions in there and dragging us a whole 15 minutes past time. Jack DeGoli, again, of course, for the show logs. Tim McKean for eWeb's Essentials. Go over and watch those. And Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney. We have a new mug man. It is like fresh off the press that Jacob has completed this week. I wrote a lot of this one. So if it's not as good, well, what are you going to do?
It's your fault.
I know. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Woodham in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Show.
Good night.
Oh, that was creepy, everybody. Dude. That was seriously weird, man.
Just trying to be weird.
All right, we'll get that. I'm working furiously to get that mug, man. Hear it. We'll back it up, re-cue it, start it over, turn it up, and here we go.
It's me, Mug. It's me, Mug. It's me, Mug.
The beginning of this with him dancing
it's
is the
me,
best.
It's me, Mugman.
You don't like Zydeco?
No, it all sounds the same.
Hey, I don't judge your music.
Look, if you're gonna listen to music, at least get some headphones.
I don't have any.
Here, use my earbuds.
Ugh, I hate the earbuds.
Well, you better get used to them. Either that or get a pair of headphones.
I am not using these. Wait, I think I know who I can borrow a pair from. Pimenta! Well, I guess she's not...
Mugman?
Right here, Pimenta.
Mugman! So, what brings you here?
You got a pair of headphones I could borrow?
Here you go.
Wow. Thanks.
Yep, just be careful with them.
All right. Thank you, Pimenta. I'll give them back by the end of the day.
I know he's gonna screw up.
Oh my god, I can't believe I broke him. What is she gonna do? What if she ties me to a chair and makes me listen to Europop? What if she hangs me from a tree with them? Or what if she just gets angry at me? Nah, Pimento wouldn't do that. Wow, what a beautiful sunset. The end of the day! Better face the music. Paventa, I broke your headphones. I was carrying them around, then they got caught against my door, and then they snapped, and then now they're broken, and the... Wait, what is that?
Oh, this? It's my other pair. Pears. Good fruit.
So, you're not mad?
Oh, Mugman, I'd never get mad at you. Mwah!
Aw, thanks. See ya, Pimenta.
What? Nothing?